listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
What is happening, my people? This is your boy, Joe Choquette, coming to you live again on the CLNS Media Network for Celtics Post Game Live Broadcast Podcast. As I mentioned, I am your host, Joe Cho. I am trying to bring as much energy tonight to the program as I possibly can after watching a 25-point thumping, which could have just been, let's face it, folks, a lot uglier than it turned out to be, against the hapless Orlando Magic. All the talent in the world, but could not put it together tonight. Again, your Celtics roll 175 over the Orlando Magic. So where do we start pulling the pork apart in this pulled pork sandwich of a game? I mean, right off the bat, I think it goes without question. The Celtics came out guns a-blazing tonight. Going into the half, I think the lead was almost 30, if it wasn't more. It was a snooze fest from the get-go. Everything was working in the Celtics' typical game setup as they usually do. Unfortunately, Orlando picked a bad night to throw in Perkins Institute of the Blind players against an NBA caliber team like the Boston Celtics. We saw the starters for the Magic put up throughout an entire game. That's four periods, folks. They threw up the starters 22 points. Boston Celtics saw that with their starting five and dropped 53 dimes on them. Now you look at the benches, and at first glance, the Magic's bench outscored the Celtics bench 53-47. But it needs to be mentioned that 21 of those 53 points that the Magic's bench put up came at the hands of Terrence Ross, who just had a decent game for himself. 25 minutes, 7 for 16 from the floor, 4 for 11 behind the arc, and 3 for 4 at the line. I mean, he was really, I'm looking over here, he's the only double-digit plus-minus guy on the Magic tonight. It was an abysmal game to watch, as preseasons are, right? Because are we really looking, you know, you have to ask yourself the question all the time. What are we looking at? What am I getting here? Am I talent evaluating, or am I actually looking at, you know, how this team's going to shape up? And, you know, proof be told, I mean, when you start looking at the minute spread that Brad had in place tonight for the Boston Celtics, it was a fairly decent minute spread. You know, you had Daniel Tice throwing up 14, and he split that time with Grant Williams, who put up 17 of his own. Tatum 21, Smart 21, Jaylen threw up 23 minutes. Semi got 13. Cantor 18. Edwards 18. Waters 11. Wanamaker 16. And then, you know, single digits after that. Langford did throw up 10 minutes, 2 points, 1 for 3 from the field. Didn't try anything from behind the arc. Didn't make his way to the line. Couple of rebounds, which was nice. I think he had a total of 3 in the game. But I think the story of this game was Celtics either entered this game treating it like a regular season game or just entered it on fire tonight. I don't know if the vibe is good down in Orlando, what was really going for it, but Smart pulled a step, turned his back, buried a 3. It was sick. One of the best highlights from the game, if you ask me. Overall, it wasn't one that you could take a lot from, I guess, or at least casual fans look in. I didn't see a ton in this game that I was taking forward with me. You know, I was reading on Twitter during the game, a couple of guys that live tweet during the game I like to follow, and somebody had floated out the thought that, you know, is Brad Stevens' player rotations driving anybody else insane? Because you want to use this preseason in camp to start whittling down and start playing your five, your six, your seven, and eight guys on a decent rotation, having guys fall into roles and find their roles. Now, tonight, again, can't argue with the result, can you? You have a 25-point win over the Orlando Magic in your second preseason game. You basically outscored them. Well, you buried them in the first quarter. I mean, let's be honest. When you throw up 35 to start the game and they counter with 11, it gets ugly quick, folks. Second quarter, Celts put up 27, Orlando 23. So you saw a little balance there near the going into the half, but the damage was already done. And we see this a lot in the NBA, where if the first half just doesn't break the way the team needs it to break, man, can it get ugly quick, can it? I mean, it was ugly. Who was watching that game and thinking of themselves, all right, Celtics just threw up 62 points in the first half. 62. Let that sink in. 62-34 at the break. Sick. It was sick. They both ended up matching 21 points apiece in the third. And then Orlando had the slight edge, 20-17 in the fourth. But again, damage is done. And one of the hallmarks of a good team, or of any team, you know, regardless of your sport, whether you're NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, the team that can put their foot on the throat of their competitor and keep it there until the final buzzer, not let up too much, always keep the game in hand. Those are the hallmarks of good teams. Those are the hallmarks of teams that are building and putting down a foundation to build towards an eventual goal of getting into the playoffs and further down the line. You know, for this team, you know, I know it's, again, preseason, but I'm filling an hour here tonight, folks. But, you know, they're putting the foundation for winning Celtics basketball. They're putting down a foundation of strong, tough, good, solid defensive play, offensive rotation with the ball, set moves, which equate to wins, which down the line, when you string enough together, we start talking seedings, we start talking playoffs, we eventually want to make our way into the Eastern Conference Finals, and who knows, the NBA Finals? I don't know. I started last season, right? This is almost a one-year anniversary to my first ever CLNS post-game Celtics show. And last year, I came in, everybody did. And if you didn't, if you were a naysayer, you weren't calling the show when I was on. But we were all filled with hope and the thought that opportunity was just around the corner. This team was built to win. And as we all know, and we all suffered throughout the entire season of the 2018-2019 Boston Celtics regular NBA season, what a freaking roller coaster ride. I almost had to go see my PCP after the season just to get some sort of heart medication, because I lived and died with this team night in and night out, doing the post games, calling in when my compadres were on there, whether it was Taylor McLeod or Bobby Manning or the great Nick Sesento or any of the guys, any of the guys that do this show. We all lived and died with this. You, the people that listen in, lived and died with this team last year. And man, did it just fizzle and dizzle out. All those expectations dashed. Then we enter the summer, right? We get through with the Kyrie crap. It's over. It's out the door. Kemba's in. Okay, let's look. We got Cantor coming in. Okay. You know, you're looking at the way this roster is shaping up, and it brings you into this preseason and eventually down the line into our regular season. I can tell you as a host here on CLNS Media, I am ecstatic about this upcoming 2019-2020 NBA regular season across the board, obviously, with a very strong eye towards the Boston Celtics. But I'm looking forward to this season. I'm looking forward to seeing how this team gels. I'm looking forward to seeing if last year the criticisms, and I'm the first to admit it, folks, I was hypercritical last year. And I will eat my words this year if I was wrong. But last year, I thrashed Jason Tatum. Thought he was too careless with the ball. thought that whenever he entered the paint, for some reason, he had to wing out that ball and literally just dare somebody to pick his pocket. I was hypercritical. You know, early in the season, when Jaylen Brown was struggling, I was hard on Jaylen. And then when Jaylen turned it on, I was sweet on Jaylen. And then when Jaylen struggled again, I was hard on Jaylen. I was an apology-driven SOB for Gordon Hayward last year. Oh, let's just wait and see. Oh, let's just wait and see. I wonder what's going to happen with Gordon. Gordon's going to turn the corner. And then he started to turn the corner, folks. After the new year, once we hit 2019, I'd say after that February, you know, circus that was the Kyrie circus, I would say that, you know, Gordon kind of stepped up. So I have high expectations for him this year. I do, as a fan. And that's the view I'll be bringing you this entire 2019-2020 NBA regular season. I am your casual fan. I'm the guy on the couch having a beer or two, watching the game, liking what I'm seeing, not liking what I'm seeing, taking notes, and then jumping up here on CLNS Media to do my post game and give you the perception of the guy sitting on the couch. I don't have the knowledge depth of Bobby Manning. I don't have the knowledge depth of Taylor McLeod. These guys, eventually, get used to those names. You're going to hear them a lot, okay? Whether it's here on CLNS Media, whether it's down the road at the large conglomerate there with the four letters that begins with an E, or whether it's in local media, radio, or TV. These guys, this is their life. You know, I'm a fan. That's my life. And I'm more of a fan of the Celtics than I am of the entire NBA as a whole. So I will give you my perspective every night. Every night for the entire season. That's my goal. This year, as many times as Bobby wants to put me on, I'll take the lead. Today, I was in Denver, Colorado this morning when Bobby texted me and said, hey, you want to do the post game tonight? I was like, oh, hell yes, I do. So here I am, folks. I just literally flew in from Denver, caught the game, listened to half of it on the radio, the other half watched on TV. And here I am giving you my perception or my take on what I saw. But at the end of the day, my biggest takeaway from tonight's game, overall, things that need to be cleaned up, with the exception of Marcus Smart, you know, 4 for 6 from behind the 3-point line. I thought the Celtics, you know, they hit their typical somewhere between 30-35% from behind the arc. They were 12 for 39. So they're still throwing up a shit ton of threes. I'd like to see that percentage go up, or the number of attempts come down a little bit. Just, again, fans' perspective, okay? And if you need to know anything else about this Boston Celtics team, if it bothers you that they don't go to the line that often, I think tonight they had 12 free throws for the night, okay? You need to chill. I just don't think it's in the makeup of this team to be the type of team that is going to win a game or lose a game from the free throw line. They're always going to be a from the field and behind the arc type of team. That's how they're built. That's how they'll play. You know, we'll look at it night in and night out. We'll see the dwindling number of attempts, and we'll think to ourselves, well, holy crap. I mean, you know, why can't they get to the line? These are like guaranteed points. It's just not the way this team is built, folks. I mean, you know, not for nothing, the Magic losing by 25 still had 26 free throw shots, you know? Fortunately for us, they shot 65%. They were 17 for 26 from free throw land. What really helped the Celtics tonight was that the Magic are also not shy when it comes to heaving it up from behind the arc. Except that tonight, when you go 6 for 31 and you shoot 19%, you're not going to win a ton of games. It's just not. You're going to get a lot of long back iron rebounds, which we saw a bunch of in tonight's game. You know, those nice long leaders out to Smart and then him feeding Tatum down the lane. You start heaving them up and you're cold. And we saw this with the Celtics last year. You're like, let's not forget that. You know, I don't want to draw too much on Orlando. I think they're a talent-laden team. I think they have a good opportunity this year to really kind of, you know, cement maybe that 6, 7, 8 seed in the East. I really do. I'm not that down on them, to be honest with you. I think they're fine. They've now played, the Magic have played 4 preseason games. They're 3-1. Tonight was their only loss. But they are a talent-laden team. They get Marcus Fultz to get his head on straight. Look out. Look out. I'm dead serious. But I just don't see it now. I didn't see it tonight. What did Fultz end up doing? 1-for-8 from the field, 0-for-1 from behind the arc, 1-for-2 from the line. That's a yawner. He's been, you know, on this plus minus, he was a minus 3. Wasn't a factor. 3 points. Jesus Christ. You played 21 minutes, you know? And it's not like he was making up for it in other parts of his game. He only had 4 assists, 1 rebound, 1 steal. Turned the ball over twice. That was the other thing I noticed in tonight's game that really should get called out. The turnovers by the end, you know, at the final buzzer, the turnovers were equal, 21 apiece. But it was super apparent in the first half of that game that the Magic struggled with hanging on to the ball. Two times I remember specifically Tatum jumping the passing lane and taking the steal. This is the NBA, folks. You know, whether it's preseason or regular season, I'm a huge proponent. We all know this, right? Let's rewind the clock a little bit and go back to my statement from last year at this time. There is no greater fan of Marcus Smart's game than me. Why? Because he is the epitome of the Boston Dirt Dog. Doesn't matter if it's the MLB, the NBA, the NFL, the NHL. We all root for that guy, that Brad Marchand, that Trot Nixon, that Julian Edelman. Marcus Smart is that guy, guys. Marcus Smart is that person for the Boston Celtics. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of anybody that is willing to sacrifice everything for the betterment of the team. Does he get wrapped up in love with three-pointers? All the time. Hey, you take the good, you take the bad, right? You get what you get, you don't get upset. You know what his game is. You know there's going to be a night where he comes down the court within the first 3 minutes of the game, swing out to the top of the circle, and he drains a three. And then you know that his next 3 shots are probably going to be 3-pointers. That's Marcus Smart. But one thing that he isn't going to do, he's not going to dog it. He's not going to let a 50-50 ball get won by somebody else without putting in any effort. He's not going to just sit idly by and watch the team implode. I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that locker room last year, because if there were somebody who would have had the sack to stand up to Kyrie and his toxicness, it probably would have been Marcus Smart. Probably just coming in like,
all I have in this world is my balls and my word, and I don't break them for no one. Do you understand?
And I hope that this team understands that he is your heart. All right. Now, beyond that, you're going to need a couple of surgeons if the idea is to take this team and not just build on what last year should have been, but eclipse what last year should have been. Do they have the talent on the roster right now to do it? I'm not 100% sure. I mean, flashes, sure. I still argue that you need to see a little bit more consistent play out of Gordon Hayward, night in, night out, on the back half of a back and back to back. I want to see, you know, home and away back to back. I want to see Gordon Hayward's body of work and then re-comment on it at the end of November. You know, when we have a full month of the season under our belt, we're looking, you know, looking at the day-to-day splits on his stats, but he's a linchpin in regards to this team going to that next level, because otherwise, in my eyes, it's a bunch of hope and pray, right? With Jason Tatum, it's hope and pray, right? I mean, he scored 15 tonight, and that's great, but he's not going to do it all by himself. Jaylen Brown threw up 11. I mean, both Tatum and Brown were plus 27s tonight in the game. I mean, the Celtics were plus everything. The starting five were plus double digits across the board. 4 of the 5 were plus 20 plus. The only one who wasn't was Tice, and I think that's a minutes thing more than anything, and he was plus 12. It'll be interesting to see how Cantor kind of matriculates in with this team and where the identity and the swag comes from as the season progresses. Those are some of the things I'm looking for. Hey, if there's something that you're looking forward to, something you want to talk about in regards to the 2019-2020 Boston Celtics, guys, we got 40 minutes left here. Hit me up on the call-in line. It's area code 347-215-7771. Again, the number is 347-215-7771. Tell me what your take in tonight's game was. Tell me what you're thinking about how, you know, did you watch this whole game? I mean, let's face it, folks, it's preseason, and when you're up 30 points going into the half, how many people watched the second half of that game? How many people watched the first half? If you're listening to the podcast now, podcast broadcast, whatever you want to call it, and I call it the podcast broadcast because we're broadcasting live right now. However, as soon as this episode is over, as soon as we shut the lights out, turn the power off, and walk out the studio door, you will be able to download this, as with all of our CLNS Media post-game Celtics shows, right there on iTunes. So look us up on iTunes Podcast for Boston Celtics post-game show powered by CLNS Radio, and you will find us. Subscribe, so that way you get it as they get dropped, if you don't have an opportunity to listen to us live. Trying to think of what else I can really pull out. I'm stoked that I've gone 20 minutes so far by myself. Let's throw that out there. By myself. I'm just now sliding back into my CLNS Media voice personality and on air guy. Those of you that were listening last year, specifically near the end of the season, where, you know, all hope was just out the window. This team was a horrificness, wrapped in a horrificness with a sprinkle of horrificness. I mean, let's face it, folks. I mean, this team was shit at the end of last season. You know that I was promoting my own podcast. I'm happy to say that since the end of the regular season last year and end of the playoff run for the Boston Celtics last year, I started my own podcast. It's not sports related, so it doesn't conflict with my commitment to do CLNS Media postgame for the Boston Celtics. It's more of a kind of like a dropping of the crap that's banging around in my brain. So talking has become something I'm really good at. Now, it's a hell of a lot easier when I'm doing that talk and I'm kind of covering subjects outside of basketball. But nevertheless, you're still talking. You're still banging around for an hour or in and around there. I think I have episodes anywhere from, you know, 60 minutes down to like 35 minutes, depending upon what's transpiring that I feel like I need to get out. But it's really helped me practice this on-air ability to fill the air with topics that are engaging. And so, you know, if you do get a chance, look me up on iTunes as well. It's Brain Droppings Podcast. That's Brain Droppings Podcast. It's available anywhere you get your podcasts. So Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, Google, TuneIn, radio.com, iHeartRadio. It's everywhere, guys. Just take a listen. It's kind of fun. I enjoy doing it almost as much as I enjoy hosting the Celtics postgame here on CLNS Media. So once again, just to recap, your Boston Celtics tonight thumped the Orlando Magic, 175. I'm hoping that the great Nick Sesento is listening and might actually call in. It'd be nice to have somebody to bang, you know, bang the topics around with. He's far more interested and involved in all things NBA and basketball than I am. Again, because I'm giving you that casual fans perspective on the game as I watch it. But Nick's always a great guy to have on there. And in fact, while I'm talking to you guys, I'll probably just shoot him a quick text and see if he's around, have him jump on and say hi. But other than that, I've thrown the gauntlet out, folks. I'm looking for that feedback from you after tonight's game. Granted, preseason game. I get it. You get it. We all get it. But doesn't mean we can't talk a little basketball. Why make me do all the talking? We just went through 5 minutes of me telling you I'm not afraid to keep talking, but I want to hear from you. So again, that line, if you want to call in, is area code 347-215-7771. Again, 347-215-7771. Now, you can call in. We can talk about the game. We can talk about the NBA. Hell, I don't care. You want to talk Patriots? We can talk Patriots. I'm edumacated. You want to talk MLB playoffs? I talk MLB playoffs. I'm pretty edumacated. You know, you pick the topics. You lead the show. Tell me what you want to talk about, and I'm more than happy to steer the ship in that direction. This, I should mention, is the 10th anniversary of Post Games for CLNS Media. I'm very blessed to have the opportunity to be on here to talk to you after each and every game, whether I'm on the schedule or I call in as a guest. I don't take any of this opportunity for granted. Nick Gelso is a phenomenal individual who's given me the opportunity, along with Bobby Manning and Taylor McLeod, to come and do these post games with you. And given that it's their 10th anniversary doing this, I'm guessing you like to listen. So do me a favor, call in, chat me up. Let's talk. All right. We got about, 25 minutes left. If I go back, I'm just digging in a little bit deeper into the stats here while I'm talking to you. This, again, it was a snoozer. It's a preseason game. Your two leading scorers were Tatum with 15 and Terrence Ross, who had 21 for the Magic. Both shot very similar. Jason was 6 for 15 from the field, 1 for 2 for the free throws. Terrence Ross was 7 for 16 and 3 for 4 from the line. And when you look at your field goal percentage over the course of the game, Boston dominated by almost 11 points, 42-31. 3-pointers, that was really where the story's told. Boston shot 31% from behind the arc. Orlando, a paltry 19% from behind the arc. Turnovers, Boston won more than Orlando, 22-21. And rebounds, Boston out-rebounded the Orlando Magic by 15. So, you know, they were definitely more active. Celtics more active on the glass. Celtics were definitely more deadly from behind three-point line. However, again, 30% shooting on 39 attempts. It's okay. I'd like to see the attempts come down or the percentage go up. But in either case, the game was what it was. You know what I mean? There's not much more to it than what we saw. If I had Bobby or Taylor or Nick on with me or Jack or any of the other guys that come and do the post game, they'd probably be able to afford you a little more in-depth knowledge into individual player performances game over game, given that this was the second time out for the Celtics, or even season over season, taking a look back at last year and kind of transposing that over what we saw here in the post in the preseason tonight. I, on the other hand, you know, I tried to basically wash my soul clean of the 2018-2019 Boston Celtics at the end of the playoff run this past season. I didn't want to think about last season anymore. I actually took a break from all sports. That's how much this team kind of played with my brain a little bit from a sports fan's perspective. I needed a break. It's one of the reasons I started my own podcast, which was just because I enjoy doing this. I enjoy talking on the microphone. I enjoy having conversations with callers that call in or having back and forth with co-hosts when I'm doing this in a tandem. I didn't want to give that up, but I needed to take a break. I had had as much as one person could have when it came to doing a post game for a team that I felt like as a host, and this is a, you know, it's a very selfish and narcissistic way to look at things. But again, hey, I'm the only guy here tonight. You're not calling in. I can say whatever I want. But in a narcissistic way, I felt like here I was after each and every game, whether I was a host, a co-host, or a caller on this line, I felt like I was giving it my best. You know, now you may not like, you know, there's a funny meme that's going around now that says, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but screw them. I drink coffee so they can go F themselves. But that's kind of case in point. Like, I may not be your cup of tea, but that doesn't mean that I didn't try to bring it each and every time I was on the air. Again, as a caller, a co-host, or a host. So night in and night out, doing my best to bring it in after shitty game after shitty game after shitty game, and then a nice plane trip to the West. I don't even want to go back down that road. I mean, hell, Nick Sesento and I fought on the air. Go back, look them up. We did. At one point in the season, I was defending Kyrie, and Nick was trouncing him, and then Nick was defending him, and I was trouncing him. I started the season anti-Jaylen Brown. Nick brought me back around and said, yo, Jaylen Brown's probably got the biggest brain on the court at any given time, from a perception of understanding what's transpiring, understanding what Brad's trying to do, understanding the flow of the game, and understanding spacing. So you might want to take a better look at him. And I attribute Nick to broadening my capability of understanding the NBA game as a fan. But I needed a break. I needed to put it to bed. I needed to let go because it was killing me. It was no bueno, no fun, not fun for me at all, or even in the slightest. But, you know, you do what you got to do. You get through it. I'm kind of vamping a little bit because the great Bobby Manning was going to email me the copy for Bet Online, and I don't have it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a quick little search while I have you all listening to me and see what comes up when I do that. And if I can find it, I'll play it for you. And if I can't, I'll just play the intro again. I'm going to play the intro again. Are you ready? Take a listen and make sure you go to Bet Online.
You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
All right. Well, we got that out of the way. You know, they're a sponsor. They afford us the opportunity as hosts to bring you these post games night in and night out. So we have to give them some love. I really wish we still had Boston Barber and Tattoo, because I knew that one. I knew that copy by heart last year, as they were a sponsor for a large portion of last season. And I could have done that one with my eyes closed. But nevertheless, just to reiterate, Boston Celtics over the Orlando Magic tonight, 175, in a rout of epic proportions. We kind of covered first half, second half, individual stats, percentages. Even, you know, I'm looking right now, just throwing things. The only thing that was close in this game, folks, to be honest with you, were the offensive rebounds. It was 14-12 in favor of the Celtics. Defensive rebounds, Celtics, you know, kind of ran away with that one. Assists, Celtics ran away 25-18. Steals, 13-10 in favor of the Celtics. Blocks, okay, Orlando won one in the stat column, folks. They had 8 blocks. Maybe we should have talked about the blocks in the game, you know? Maybe that could have been my lead-in from the from the entire, I don't know, whatever, from the entire show. I got to talk about blocks. And that would have given some, you know, legitimacy to the Orlando Magic tonight, but it was rough. From an overall perspective, I thought, you know, I wanted to see more out of Mo Bamba, but it wasn't there. 18 minutes, 2-for-5 from the floor, 2-for-4 at the line. He had 7 rebounds. That was good, but he's a giant. I mean, he should have that many. I think overall for the night, he was a minus 19, which when you look at their starters, Gordon was a minus 27. Isaac was a minus 22. Augustin was a minus 21. Fournier was a minus 29. So Bamba being a minus 19, not so shabby, right? It was tough. I mean, and let's face it. There were some injuries that were, you know, in play here. I think Orlando had 2. They had Vic Law that was out. He's kind of day to day, but he's a rookie. So, you know, what are you really looking for here? And was it Vucic? Vucic? I don't know. Nikola Vucevic, who was day to day. So, you know, you had some guys out, and I don't think it would have made a difference, to be honest with you. Tonight, the Celtics just had it. The Orlando Magic wanted it, but couldn't quite get it. Turned out to be basically a second half of just matching points. And when you do that and you're already down 30, you're not going to win this game, folks. This game is predicated on runs. And if you can't put a run together as a team, you don't stand a chance at eroding a lead, especially a lead that's over 20. So you get the result that you get. You get a very lopsided preseason game with very little to talk about from your host. I wish I had a little bit more. So I guess we could take a quick stroll down and talk about some prescient topics. And I don't know exactly how deep we want to get into it, but as we all know, the NBA has been in the news this week, specifically Steve Kerr's communist comparison to owning an AR-15. Take whatever you want with that. I thought that was a little off the wall. It's not a ton going on yet, folks. Season is yet to really get into full swing. Once the games start counting and the bullets start flying, that's when this league, this sport becomes most enjoyable to me. You know, and it's this, and I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you, in all honesty, any time that I remember watching more than two or three innings of a Red Sox preseason game. I can't tell you any time that I've watched more than a quarter of a Patriots preseason game. And this is Patriots country, folks. We're in the Northeast of the United States. You know, it's Celtics, Bruins, Patriots, Red Sox. People live and die by the Patriots. I live and die by the Patriots. And to be honest with you, I could give two squirts about the preseason. You know, it's a lot of talent evaluation that should be done by the people that are paid to evaluate the talent. And then me as a host, come on here and chat them up a little bit about, you know, the game at hand or the possessions and plays that transpire, player rotations, ball rotation. But outside of that, what more is there? You know, you got to ask yourself. So I'm going to ask you one last time, with 23 minutes remaining in this broadcast, if you want, give me a call. Area code 347-215-7771. Again, 347-215-7771. I'll be here for the next 20 minutes or so, taking calls, talking Boston Celtics, Orlando Magic. Game took place at the Amway Center in Orlando tonight. One team showed up. It was the visitors, the Boston Celtics, with a 175 win over the Orlando Magic. And you kind of got to look at some new hope, new faces, new season. Kemba Walker taking the new look Celtics into Orlando for the second game of the NBA 2019 preseason and putting a beating on the Orlando Magic. That's really the storyline of tonight's game, folks. Celtics put up 35 in the first to 11 and then just cruised from there on in. You got to see a lot of players play tonight. That's, you know, one of the things that I did take away from tonight was when you're up like that and, you know, I get it. It's hard as a professional athlete. It's hard as an NBA athlete to just, I don't know what's the right word to get too up for a game or too down for a game. You know what I mean? Like you want it to be a good game, but you know, how much are you actually putting into it? And at the end of the day, it was nice to see in the box score, at least it was nice to see the Celtics, you know, get a bunch of minutes for a bunch of guys that, you know, it's good to get a good look at, like Javonte Green, Max Strauss, Taco Fall, Vincent Poirier, hell, even Robert Williams. You know, these are guys that are all had single-digit minute nights. Not much from I think of those four players that I just, or the five players that I just mentioned, they amassed 4 points on, let's see, what do we got here? 4 points, 5 and 3, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. Yeah. So, you know, take what you want from that. It was nice to see Waters get a little extra time in Langford. But, you know, I guess if you really wanted to kind of play with this a little bit, you could ask yourself, you know, what is Semi Ojeleye's role going to be on this team in the regular season? You know, is he just a stash away until you have the Milwaukee games and hope that he plays Giannis tight? And do you even need that this year with this lineup, with this squad. You know, it's very interesting to me to take a look at, you know, the players that make up the Boston Celtics 2019-2020 roster and ask, you know, you can kind of go through them. They're your stalwarts, you know, that are going to be on the team. They're going to play. It's going to be Gordon Hayward. It's going to be Jason Tatum. It's going to be Jaylen Brown. It's going to be Marcus Smart. It's going to be Enes Kanter. It's going to be Daniel Tice. Okay. So I'm at 6. Who's going to round out 7 through 10? You know, is it Edwards? Is it Williams? Is it Wanamaker? Is it Ogele? Is it Langford? Is it Waters? I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't know after 2 preseason games yet. I'm not even sure Brad gets it yet or knows. I think he's still feeling it out. It'll be very, very, very interesting to watch this first quarter of the season kind of shake free. Because if you remember last year, that first quarter of the season was filled with a lot of frustration. You know, when this team broke camp, it broke with the full-on expectation that this was an NBA Finals roster. And, you know, again, not to go too far down memory lane, but I think all hope for that was pretty much toxified and drowned out by New Year's last year. And then it just seemed to precipitate through January and into February until they took that trip to the West Coast and kumbaya'd themselves into some semblance of a 5 seed, 6 seed, 4 seed type of basketball team that didn't really have a prayer at that point. Too discombobulated, too divided, too disjointed to put together a run that would be required to be an NBA Finals competitor. The hope is that this year, some fresh faces, a different mentality. Hopefully Brad's stock has gone up. Now, that's a talking point that we could finish the show with. And I think that's probably a very valid one. Last year, I was pretty hard on Brad Stevens. I get what he's doing. I'm not a fool. Okay. You have a plan, you ride your plan, you stick to your plan. I'm not questioning his coaching of a plan's ability. I'm questioning, I guess, to a degree, his implementation of said plan. So what do you mean by that, Joe? Well, I mean a couple of different things by that. First off, I mean player rotations and pairings. Okay. I thought last year, and I get it, He had a very talent-laden roster and just struggled with personalities, minute requirements or needs, and sometimes forcing something that wasn't there, i.e. Gordon Hayward early in the year before he went to the bench. That first month of the season was so frustrating from a fan's perspective. I thought that his clock management skills last year were dwindling somewhat. I didn't think he was calling that timely timeout at the right time to kind of gather the troops and work forward. And I'm going to kind of stop my criticism of Brad right around New Year's when the wheels had already fallen off this bus. Okay. So you got to go from the start of the season straight up through the end of December. And when you take a look at that 7 to 8, 9, 10 week span, there was a lot to be desired from the players on the court from a performance perspective, but there was also plenty that was not handled properly from a coaching perspective. And it's easy for me to sit back in my studio and criticize Brad Stevens, who has to manage the likes of Kyrie Irving and Marcus Morris, who just got ejected last night or the night before in a preseason game for starting a fight. Terry Rozier. I mean, you keep going down the line, you know, I get it. You had a lot to handle, but damn it, Brad, you're the freaking coach of the Boston Celtics. You know, this isn't a college program. This isn't, you know, the dregs of the NBA. This is a premier franchise in the NBA and you are its head coach. In my humble opinion, last year, he had an opportunity to step up and show that he's more of a Popovich and a Kerr and less, or a Doc, and less of a Ty Lue, who I believe is just a puppet. I'm going on the record saying it, folks. Not a fan of Ty Lue. Not that that's surprising to anybody who knows me. I struggled with Brad's coaching style. I struggled with Brad's player minute pairings and rotations. I struggled with his inopportune timeouts, his inability to gel this lineup, to manage these personalities, to implement the system and program for winning basketball across the entire roster. I'm hopeful that this year I'll be made to look like a jackass from last year. I'm hoping that it'll be proven to me throughout the regular season that there was toxicity on this team from a personality perspective that prohibited the coach from being able to do his job effectively. That's what I'm hopeful for. What I'm fearful for is that the toxicity was just a flashlight in the dark on areas in Brad's coaching game that could prove, like Gostkowski missing extra points, could prove to be a liability later in the season. Those are the things from a fan's perspective outside of the players on the court that I'm watching. I'm also watching Danny. You know, Danny Ainge is a god in this town, the town of Boston. Always has been, should never have to pay for a meal, brought a championship here, was a part of a championship when he was here. Danny Ainge is a great basketball mind. But as with all great basketball minds, we're judged on the capabilities and the output within our position in an organization. Whether you're a salesperson, you're judged on how many things you sell by units or dollars or number of deals closed. As a CEO, you're judged on how a company performs. Well, as a president of basketball operations, oh my God, I almost Theo Epstein'd him. As a president of basketball operations, team president, you're judged on the team's performance. You're judged on the groceries that you shop for, that you bring in, the deals that you make or don't, and the results of the team on the court. My hope for the 19-20 season is that Danny Ainge is once again a shiny penny and not a tarnished plate. My hope is that Brad Stevens is elevated to that coaching pantheon where he's back and we're looking at him as one of the premier coaches in the NBA. Not just a game manager, but a complete coach, both personality, scheme, and execution. And I'm hoping that this Boston Celtics team puts it together, finds an identity, rallies around said identity, and rides this pony until the legs fall off. Because there'll be no bigger fan on the other end of the television than me cheering them on. No bigger fan than you cheering them on. But God damn it, guys, you got to get there. The expectations are not what they were last year, but that's not to say that they're not high. This is Boston. This is Title Town. This is an area of the country in which second best is the first loser. Ask the Celtics how that played out for them last year. Ask the Patriots how it plays out for them when they don't win a Super Bowl. Ask the Red Sox how that pans out when you don't make the playoffs after winning the World Series. Ask the Bruins how that feels when you're the highest rated favorite going into a Stanley Cup final and you choke it out. There is plenty, plenty that can be done, both from a coaching perspective, from an executive perspective, and from a player perspective on this Boston Celtics team this year. And I, for one, am filled with hope. And I hope you are too. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Celtics Post Game here on CLNS Media. I am happy to be back in the 10th season, your host, taking it solo for a preseason game, filling as much time as I possibly could. I hope Bobby Manning is appreciative of this. Please do me a favor. Make sure to check in every single time the Boston Celtics take the floor for a post game immediately following the game here on CLNS Media. And again, if you can't catch it live, that's okay. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so that way you can hear it, whether you're on your commute the next day or whether it's, you know, a couple of days later. Make sure you listen. Next game coming up is this Sunday, the 13th at 3 p.m. against the Cavs. And this is not the Cavs that we remember. You know this. I know this. The American people know this. It's over for the Cavs. It is what it is, folks. That's all I got. I hope that everything goes well for you. Celtics will be in Cleveland. Nope. Am I right or am I wrong? Hang on. I could have just screwed this all up and then you're all going to hate me. I take that back. On Sunday, the Celtics are at home at the TD Garden in Boston, 3 p.m. on Sunday. I would guess 4:30 p.m. Catch the CLNS Media postgame live Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Media. As always, I'm happy to be here. Happy to be your host. Take care. Good night.
You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. Me, I always tell the truth, even when I lie. So say good night to the bad guy.
All right, see you guys. We'll be right back.